Hello and welcome to World of Podcast, or World of Warcraft podcast. This is new show 2. This show I'm going to be talking about things that are coming in the next patch, patch 2.2, next content patch I should say. There might be a little mini patch that comes out before that, I'm not sure. Bug fixes, stuff like that. And basically, I'm not really playing on the public test realm right now, so this isn't a PTR show. I did download it, I did check it out, and I can explain a little bit about what I saw, but my characters haven't copied over yet, so once they're copied over, I'll go over and check out some of the other neat little things that have already been added. However, not every feature or content in general has been added to the current PTR. This includes the voice chat, which, according to Tigerclaw, they're still working on, but still plan on having it in for 2.2. And a couple other things. There's no mention of Zul'Aman, or whether that's coming out in 2.2, or if it's going to be later, 2.3, or something like that. So, this is not really the final test realm. From the sound of it, this test realm is going to be up and running for quite a while, especially if they really do plan on having the voiceover IP function integrated into 2.2. If it's not in there now, it's probably going to take a little while. It sounds like they're still working on it. So there's a good chance these test realms might be up for a little while. So without further ado, let's get started, shall we? So, in a huge shock to most of my listeners, I've actually made notes for this PTR news show, whatever you want to call it, the news show. Because the patch notes are kind of long, and really I'm just picking out some of the bigger things that are occurring within the patch notes. I'm looking at some of the things that I want to discuss. The first is resilience. It now states that the reduction of the percent chance to get a critical strike now also reduces the damage dealt by damage over time effects by the same percentage. I'm a bit iffy on this. Personally, I feel that resilience was added to affect burst damage, crits, stuff like that. That's the whole mechanic behind the initial design of it. And dots are not burst damage. Dots are damage over time. They're pretty constant. They don't crit, that sort of stuff. So, you know, I can understand some people, oh my god, these warlocks, they just dot me up and I die. And then other people, mainly warlocks and shadow priests, who rely a lot on dots as well, are going to be looking at this as not, you know, it's just looking at it as a nerf to their class. I'm not a huge PvPer, so honestly, I really could give two flying fucks. However, I don't necessarily agree with it on the basis that resilience was intended to limit burst damage, and dots are not burst damage. That's just my take on resilience. Another big one is power regeneration, as they call it. And they say, any effect which triggers a change from your rate of power regeneration for mana, rage, energy, or focus for pets will now cause an immediate reward of some power at the old rate of increase, and then begin new ticks of power at the new rate approximately 2 seconds later. This was done to improve functionality of abilities such as Evocation and Innervate so that they did not have wasted ticks. Putting this into layman's terms, mages and I guess druids with Innervate, I'm not sure, or maybe the people that they cast Innervate on, were complaining, and rightfully so, that they were losing out on ticks of the Evocation or the Innervate to their regular mana regen, their regular mana regen after the 5-second rule. And what it was doing was Evocation would lose like its last tick, so you wouldn't get your mana back from that, and possibly Innervate was doing the same thing. I haven't played my druid in quite a while, so I'm not really sure about that. So now what they're saying is, as soon as you start it, you're going to get some of your normal mana regen, or whatever, Thistle Tea if you're using energy, whatever. And then the new one will tick in two seconds later. So it's basically designed so that you don't lose out on those final ticks, or you don't lose out on a tick of innervate because that lasts 20 seconds because your normal mana regen would have kicked in. So we're going to have to see how that one works. I don't necessarily know. I really don't use evocation that much unless I'm in a raid. So we'll have to see. Hopefully it'll improve there, because Lord only knows that that's when I need it the most. Let's see. For druids, the cat form for Night Elf, melee attack range was too short compared to the Tauren cat form and other attack ranges. It has been increased. Basically, I think this has to do with the fact that the Tauren hitbox is larger than the Night Elf hitbox, so the Night Elf had to get closer to do their melee attacks than the Taurens did. So Taurens were just had a little advantage there, and I think this is the, quote, cat form bug, range bug that druids have been complaining about. However, I know that Tauren druids complain about that too, so I'm not exactly sure there. That this could just be just a small fix just to even out the hitboxes when it comes to melee range for Night Elves compared to Taurens. For Hunters, Aspect of the Viper has received a redesign. It says here, the amount of mana regained will increase as the Hunter's percentage of mana remaining decreases. At about 60% mana, it is equivalent to the previous version of Aspect of the Viper. Below that margin, it is better, up to twice as much mana as the old version, while above that margin, it will be less effective. Mana regained would never drops below 10% of intellect every 5 seconds, and never goes above 50% of intellect every 5 seconds. So basically, they're making it more scaling depending on what your current mana is. So the higher your mana is, the less regen you're going to get from Aspect of the Viper, and the lower your mana is, the better your regen is going to be from Aspect of the Viper. Personally, I think Aspect of the Viper is a really cool skill for Hunters, and if it was a group skill, I would absolutely love it in raids, but I guess they feel that would be a bit too OP. Who knows? Also, pets will now be affected by Paladin Greater Blessings. So I guess before, pets had to be 5-minute blessing, whatever. Speaking of paladins and blessings, this is a big, huge, huge thing for paladins, and I fully endorse this. I think this is a great change. Blessing of Kings, Light, Might, Salvation, Sanctuary, and Wisdom have all been increased from 5 minutes to 10 minutes, and their greater versions have been increased from 15 minutes to 30 minutes. I think this is a great thing. It will definitely save paladins money on their reagents for their Symbol of Kings. So that, because, I mean, in a raid, casting a Greater Blessings every 15 minutes, that's got to be annoying. A half hour is still shorter than the group buffs that other classes get, such as paladins, or I'm sorry, such as priests, druids, mages, and that's it. Yeah, that's the only group buffs. But it's definitely a huge increase. I think it's going to help keep raids moving along at a better pace, so this should be pretty well. They've said that Lightwell for priests will now... It says the heals from this ability are now increased by the bonus healing effects on the priest. Now, according to some of the priests that I have seen talking about it on the test realm, Lightwell is getting 100% coefficient. If that's true, that's awesome. Doesn't mean that Lightwell is that much more worth taking, because obviously priests still consider it Lowell, LOLwell, because it still has some problems with it, such as the healing over time. If you take any damage, it's wasted. It just stops. And a lot of priests are asking, you know, if you just make it so that the heal over time, because it doesn't really heal that much to begin with, wouldn't be stopped from taking damage, then those ranged classes that would be the ones using it, such as mages, hunters, warlocks, would be more inclined to use it, and potentially more priests would be inclined to use it. Now, as a general rule, at least on the forums, it seems that many priests feel that Lightwell and Circle of Healing are basically useless talents, especially Circle of Healing, because if you take Circle of Healing, you can't get Divine Spirit. So, you know, what good is not having Divine Spirit? And it's actually a great talent in the discipline tree. It really is. So this will help Lightwell a little bit. I'm not necessarily going to say that it's going to make priests more willing to take it. But we'll find out. So, let's see what else we got here. You know, notes are a wonderful thing. I should do them more often, but then I'd sound very structured. Apparently, a lot of the old AQ40 enchants, and maybe some of these were from other places too, the drop enchants that used to drop off of bosses, they've now been added to faction vendors. And they all require the exalted rep with each of these factions that they are part of. This is mainly because a lot of these enchants are still wanted, but they're fairly rare on most servers. Those guilds that were far enough to get them, they were pretty crappy drop rates to begin with. And then the second thing is, even though a lot more people could go back now and do AQ40, it's a ghost town. Just like Molten Core, just like Blackwing Lair, and just like Naxxramas, and just like ZG and AQ20. So, you know, these enchants that people want are even rarer than they were before. However, the reagent requirements have been upped for level 70 content, which means primals. Unfortunately, these are still, as far as I know, level 300 enchants, which means bleh on the reagent cost. Some of these I saw, they were taking like 8 primals, and I'm like, oh god, you'll never get them. But it's a step in the right direction. I feel that if they're going to put them up in mat cost for the level 70 game, then perhaps they should make these level 375 enchants and increase their effectiveness a little bit. The following enchants are the ones being added. Enchant Cloak Dodge will be at Lower City. Enchant Cloak Greater Fire Resistance will be... Well, it just says it's... It doesn't actually say where it's dropping. Actually, that might just be changing here. It just says reagents required have been adjusted, so... Okay. Enchant Cloak Greater Nature Resistance. Reagents required... Okay, that's another one. I guess that's still pretty available, but it's been up, so it's going to take, like, Primal Lifes or some shit like that. Enchant Cloak Stealth is now at the Cenarion Expedition Quartermaster. Enchant Cloak Subtlety is now at Honor Hold and Thralmar. Enchant Glove Superior Agility is now at the Keepers of Time. Let's see. Enchant Gloves Threat. This is the big one. This is the one that so many people want. Especially tanks and especially raiding guilds. They've been wanting Enchant Cloak Threat. So if you were not running AQ40 to get this drop, and I forget who it even drops off of. It might be Princess, I'm not sure. But it was a rare enchant to begin with. But now this is coming back, and it adds 2% threat from all abilities to gloves. This will be at the Shatar Quartermaster. And Enchant Weapon Greater Agility is now at the Violet Eye vendor. And they've also said that various crafting recipes have been added to the Violet Eye faction vendor. So we're going to have to see if there's going to be tailoring, leatherworking, blacksmithing, that sort of stuff. As soon as my characters transfer over, I will go and check it out and see what they got. Let's see, some new enchanting news. Enchanting. Nexus Transformation. This recipe transforms a Nexus Crystal into a small prismatic shard and has been added to some enchanting traders. This is most likely because all those former enchants that used Nexus Crystals are not going to use Nexus Crystals anymore. So, duh. Small prismatic shards. There's now a recipe to transform a large prismatic shard into 3 small prismatic shards. And the recipe to transform 3 smalls into a large will no longer give you skill points. Now, this is probably because they're adding the one to transform them into the lower. So they don't want people just making it large, putting it back down, making it large, putting it back down, and getting their skill points that way. So it's, you know, it kind of sucks for enchanters who are at that point now, but the patch isn't coming out for a while, so keep doing it. So, moving right along. One heroic note here that I found interesting. The Raging Flames in Nethermancer Sepethera encounter have had their movement speed reduced slightly in heroic mode. That's for the Mechanar. That is the... Well, I guess the way you go through the instance, you got the two mini bosses, you got the one first main boss, the big giant mechanical dude, and then you've got her, and then the final guy. So she's actually the second boss, but the way people do it is she's like the fourth boss in the thing. And right now, a lot of us skip her. She's annoying. She spawns a third elemental over the non-heroic mode. And you know what? She's really not worth it. She doesn't have any updated loot. One badge. You've already got... The way most of us do it, in the groups I go, we do the two mini bosses. We do the big mechanical guy. We skip her, go kill the last guy. We've gotten four badges, and the last guy drops the epics in the nether. Great. The second boss, you know, whatever her name is, Nethermancer Sepethera, she's not worth it. She's just a badge. Her loot is not upgraded from non-heroic, which I feel is wrong. I think my personal feeling here is that all the level 70 heroics, all the bosses should have updated loot. I'm not saying they all should have epics. Leave the epics on the last boss. That's fine. However, give them updated loot to show that they're heroic. Give us incentive to kill some of these bosses, because right now we skip her. It's just a badge. We've already gotten four badges. Nah, who cares? You don't need the fifth. When you could kite the elementals around differently, yeah, sure, kill her. But now that, you know, they fixed the elemental kiting ability, she's not worth it. The elementals do too much damage. There's three of them. It's too mobile of a fight for anybody but warlocks, basically. So, screw her. You don't need her. Most of us just go, she's not worth it. We're just going to skip that badge. So, we'll have to see if slowing them down will make us do her, but I really don't think so. And see, getting on to factions, according to them, the following Old World factions have had their acquisition rate significantly increased. What this means is their rep increase, their, you know, the rep you get for whatever has been increased. Cenarian Circle, Argent Dawn, Timbermaw Holt. So what does this mean? It means I take a sip of my Diet Coke there. Actually, what it means is that you're going to get double the rep, basically. My brother went on the test drum. He went up and killed some furbogs and checked it out. At the appropriate level, level 60 and below, I guess to level 55 or so, they will give you double the normal rep. So for furbogs, instead of 5, it'll be 10. And for, I don't even know, Cenarian Circle, I think it was always just one rep a kill. That was just horrible. But that's going to be 2 rep, that sort of stuff. Argent Dawn, it'll be when you're in the instances Scalamance and Stratholme. For killing undead, you're going to get 10 rep instead of 5 until you know reach the cap for that. And then he also said that Scourgestone's reps have been doubled. The Timbermaw feathers, headdress feathers, and the beads, they have also been doubled. So I'm going to assume also that the Twilight Texts, when you turn in 10 Twilight Texts, that has also been doubled. So, I guess that's to get people to get their factions up with them. I don't know. I am an enchanter on my mage. I never got past friendly with Timbermaw. I went back at 70, said, you know what, I'll grind it out, but I was getting one rep a kill. I was like, fuck this. I wasn't grinding out, like, at the time, 3,200 kills minus my beads or feathers. I was like, fuck it. I don't need it that bad. I don't need the plus 15 agility to one-handed weapon that bad. Now, I really wish that they would adjust the Thorium Brotherhood rep. Again, I'm an enchanter. I would have liked at 60 to get the plus 22 intellect enchant to weapon. However, the rep turn-ins for Thorium Brotherhood has got to be the worst rep turn-ins ever designed. Okay, going and killing those Incendosaurs and getting their scales, not a big deal. Okay, even at 60, you could just blow through them. If you were a DPS class, anyway. Blow through them, collect them, you were fine. The shittiest part was if you were, you know, in most cases, enchanters are tailors. Not all, but, you know, a lot of the cloth enchanters are also tailors. So you didn't have a gathering skill, so you had to go buy heavy leather, buy iron, I think, and buy king's blood. And then you had to go, and it was like 4 pieces of them, plus the Incendosaur scale, plus 2 pieces of coal or something like that, per turn in. And you could literally sit there for like an hour turning in all the leather and stuff that you had. Your carpal tunnel syndrome be going. You just went mad. It was the worst, worst faction turn in ever. I didn't even get out of neutral. Because after neutral, I could actually turn in the... God, what the hell is it called? It's the dust that drops out of BRD and sometimes off of other mobs in the cauldron area. And it's... You get it in BRD. I can't remember what it's called now. Dark Iron Residue. That's it. Dark Iron Residue. And you could turn in those. And, you know, I had stacks of that shit just sitting around. But I could not deal with turning in heavy leathers because my druid was a skinner, so I could obviously skin those up. And the coal and the Incendosaur scales. It drove me batty by the time I was about halfway through neutral. I was like, screw it. I'm not dealing with it. I don't need it that bad. They really have to redesign how that's done or put in an option, you know, to turn in all of the items that you have for the rep. You know, like, it would look at how, you know, how many. So if you had a full stack of heavy leather, you know, if it was 4 turn-in, I think it was, and you had to, you know, enough for 5 turn-ins worth of scales and coal, it would just go turn in 5, and boom, they were all turned in. That would have made it so much better, and I would have actually gotten out of friendly. I would have turned in all my Dark Iron Residue, and then, you know, I would have bought the Dark Iron Ore if I had to go turn in. I didn't care. But, ugh. So, Blizzard, if you're listening, and you're probably not because I call you names sometimes, change Thorium Brotherhood. Change that rep turn in. Make it easier on us, for God's sake, please. Okay, enough of that horrible thinking there. Let's see, Monstrous Kaleri, they're going to have loot. Not that it matters to me anymore. I'm fully exalted. I don't have to go back there anymore. But at least now when they, you know, attack you for just being somewhere near the zone, they'll have something. So that's somewhat better. The next little part that I'm going to talk about, well, I can't say little. It's probably going to take up the rest of the show, is Mac changes. Macintosh changes for World of Warcraft. Now, these are pretty big changes, and this is why I'm mentioning them. For the Mac, they're going to be adding graphical optimization for older video cards or for integrated Intel video on the Mac Minis that use the Intel processors. There is a new Mac options dialog for Mac-specific features such as the iTunes video or the iTunes remote control, as well as the new Mac Movie Capture. And I'm just going to read exactly what it says here. The Mac client can now capture in-game video to QuickTime movie files using a configurable choice of codec, resolution, and frame rate, and the codecs available are H.264, Motion JPEG, or Pixlet. 2 new entries have been added to the key bindings dialog for start and stop recording and for cancellation of a recording. For more detailed configuration options, please see the Mac options panel in-game. Mac OS 10 10.4.9 and QuickTime 7.1.6 or better are required. Not all machines have enough performance to smoothly capture video at high frame rates. end-user experimentation will be required to find appropriate settings for each system. So what is... What does this mean? Well, it basically means that the Mac is getting a built-in video recorder for WoW. Just for WoW. Doesn't affect anything else. It's just for WoW. This video recorder is going to hook directly into QuickTime through Core Video that is in 10.4 Tiger, and it's going to allow the user to record the game while they play. And then after they stop recording, it's going to compress it. Initial results from people testing it have shown quite nice videos. If you want, you can head over to my forums at worldofpodcast.blogspot.com. Click on the link on the right-hand side of the page, says World of Podcast Forums. I'm actually going to try to find as many of these videos as possible for a little while during the test run, and I'm going to link to them. There are already two linked right now, and they're pretty nice quality, and they show two of the effects that you can do. One is you can show the UI while you're recording, and the other one is you can choose to show the UI or not show the UI while you're recording. So what does this mean? Well, because the UI is rendered separately from the game world, the recording actually lets you choose whether to show it or not, which I think is a cool feature. Nicotine, baby. Nicotine. The videos have been pretty nice quality so far. They were both made using pretty nice Macs. Not one of them was pretty high quality, like top of the line. But, you know, most of them have been using iMacs, so they show a general thing. You can choose your resolution, you can choose your frame rate, and you can choose what codec you're going to encode to. H.264 is going to give you the best resolution. It's going to give you the best frame rate. It's also, however, going to tax your system more while it's encoding. It is recommended, if you're going to use the H.264, that you have a multi-core processor or a multi-processor G5. Or G4. I guess they had multiprocessor G4s as well. And this is because it's going to tax your system. It's a lot more CPU power to do the H.264 encoding. So if you have multi-core processors, then one core can work on that while the other core works on WoW. Now, there are a couple things I'd like to mention about it. Not every Mac is going to be able to record, okay? My Mac in particular cannot record, slash cry. They announced this on July 13th, which was my birthday. And I was like, wow, great birthday present from Blizzard. This is awesome. I go to the PTR with a brand new character just to test it out. Everything's grayed out in the Mac options panel. Can't do anything. Why, I wonder? So I made a post on the Mac Tech Support forums, and Tiger Claw came back and said, ooh, bad news for you, dude. Your Mac can't do it. Your video card isn't supported. So since then, he's added to this sticky that is on the test realm forums called Known Issues Mac Movie Capture or Mac Movie Recording. And he says, on the topic of supported hardware, which we need to revise the patch notes for since we forgot, the current implementation of movie capture requires an OpenGL pixel shader capable GPU. Older GPUs such as the GeForce 2MX and 4MX and the Radeon 8500, 9000 or 9200 do not have the requisite hardware support. We can look at working around this in a future revision, but it would necessitate a frame rate and resolution trade-off on those systems. Movie capture does work on all currently shipping GPUs on Intel Mac and GPUs as old as the Radeon 9600 NVIDIA and NVIDIA FX 5200 on PowerPC systems. Specific systems that cannot presently support movie capture: the Mac Mini PowerPC G4 with the Radeon 9200, the iBook G4 PowerPC with the Radeon 9000 or the Radeon 9200. Radeon 9200 happens to be the one I have for my iBook. the PowerBook G4 with the GeForce 4MX, and any older G4 desktop systems with a Radeon 8500, 9000, or 9200, or a GeForce 2MX or 4MX. Kind of a blow to me. I was a bit upset, but I also figured this might happen. I really was hoping that my Mac would be supported. It's about 6 months too old. Damn. 6 months. But whatever. I can deal. We'll all deal. It's a cool feature. I've been checking out some of the movies, and they've been looking pretty good. One guy did record at full resolution. I guess he had one of the new Power Macs. The damn thing, it was a 30-inch screen. I was like, oh my god! Because obviously my laptop doesn't have a 30-inch screen. And it took forever to load. But he was able to record at a nice frame rate with his setup. Most of the others I've seen, they've been about 640 by 480. Oh, pardon me. And some other resolutions that are smaller than what they do. Now, the general rule of thumb that Tiger Claw mentions. If you're going to record, your best bet is to set the recording rate at a frame rate smaller than what your game normally plays at. So what this means is if your game plays at 45 frames a second, generally, set it to record at 30 frames a second. And then while you're recording, it will actually cap the game's frame rate at 30 frames a second so that you capture everything. And then when you stop recording, it'll transfer back to your old frame rate or your normal frame rate. If you try to record at a frame rate higher than what your game, your video card can support, basically what your Mac can support, it's going to cause you problems. The feature, most people are generally enjoying it. There are a couple problems. One of the options is to record your cursor or not. Well, it seems like it's pretty borked. He comes out and says, record cursor mode seems pretty broken. What it does is your movie records as just an all-black screen. So for now, don't use record cursor if you're going to try it on the test ROMs if you have a Mac. There are sometimes black and green flashes in some situations, often at the start of a movie. Sometimes there are repeat or looped frames, or partially captured frames. And you can have blank or garbled video if your capture rate pop-up is left at a higher number than what your game normally plays at. Now, he did say, however, on the 16th... Why did I do that? I already have it open. Because I'm a dumbass, that's why. On the 16th, he says he may have found the bug that was causing the black and green and partial frames. He's working on a fix. With luck, he can get it into the very next PTR revision and we can see how it handles. The cool thing is that he is keeping very big tabs on this. He's watching this carefully. He is taking suggestions. People are asking for different codecs to encode to. People are asking for an uncompressed, for those people with really big hard drives. They just want to record uncompressed video so that they can then take it into iMovie or Final Cut Pro and deal with it in there and do stuff, which is, you know, pretty cool. That works out. If they can do it. Obviously, it won't be recommended for people without a lot of hard drive space, but it can be done. And so he's taken suggestions. This is really cool. However, there are Windows users bitching. Why do the Mac users get this? You know, they don't make up the biggest install base. Why don't we get it? And there's a very basic reason for this. It was easy to do on the Mac. OS X Tiger 10.4 has a feature in it called Core Video. And this hooks directly into QuickTime, which allows applications not written by Apple to utilize Core Video and access abilities in QuickTime and to record directly to QuickTime if they wish to. And then QuickTime, even if you don't have the Pro version, ironically, if you get QuickTime on a Mac, well, even on Windows, but if you when you get QuickTime, it is the full pro version. It's just it's locked to just playback until you buy it. So it has all the functionality. So they then use QuickTime to compress the video. But this all works very seamlessly, I guess, is the best word to use, on a Mac. Currently, the Windows team is thinking about doing the same thing, but in their case, they're at a sort of a rock and a hard place. I don't know if Windows can do this. I don't know if there's any hooks in Windows that's going to let people make Windows Media video files, WMVs. They also, at the same time, are reluctant to tell you you're going to have to download QuickTime or some other third-party application if you want this on Windows. And this is a good thing. They should not recommend you downloading a third-party application. Am I saying you should never download QuickTime? That's up to you. I don't care. But there are people that don't like QuickTime, and they would prefer to not have it on their Windows system. And they would not use a built-in Windows, a built-in movie recorder on the Windows version of World of Warcraft should it require them to download QuickTime. And any good software programmer is going to tell you that if you have to tell someone they have to download what would be considered a third-party application to work part of their application, then they're doing it wrong. Maybe they'll work with Microsoft and find out if there's some way to do this. I don't know. There also has to be Windows user want for it, requests. It's been a huge request for the Mac version. And the reason being that there are a lot of threads pretty much every day up until this was announced asking, how do I record video on a Mac? Fraps doesn't work. GameCam doesn't work. You know, how do I do it? And Fraps and GameCam are both available on Windows, and they're both fairly cheap to get the full versions of. On the Mac side, there are only two solutions that I know of. One is called Snaps Pro X, and it's a resource hog. It costs $70 for the full version. I don't like it. I bought it 3 years ago and I wish I didn't. It was $70 wasted. Seriously, it really is. It's horrible. I cannot record WoW with it. I've tried. It makes WoW unplayable while I'm recording. And then the playback that I do after it's done encoding is even worse than what I had when I was playing WoW with it running. So don't bother with it. Fine for recording stuff on your desktop, not fine for game recording. At least not on my system. Maybe on the dual cores or the quad core Intel Max, it would work better. But on mine, forget it. Just horrible. Absolutely horrible. And then there's another one called iShowYou, and I have not tried iShowYou. It's a lot cheaper than Snaps Pro X, and some people tend to like it, but I haven't given it a shot. I'm not about to download another video capture soft thing when I've already spent $70 on one. You know, hello. Let's think about this. I'm not spending more money for the same type of program. Ooh. So, you know, and Windows users have had access to Fraps and GameCam for quite a while. And they're cheaper than Snaps for damn sure. So there hasn't been a lot of requests on Windows for it. And the operating system itself might pose a problem. If it doesn't have the hooks built in it to do these sorts of things, well, then you might have a problem. Because software developers should not tell you to download a third-party program to get something of theirs to work. So I will say that, according to Tigerclaw, the Windows team would like to add this to Windows. Their ability to do it, however, I don't know. He hasn't mentioned whether they can or can't. He also says, though, it's a matter of priority. There haven't been requests for it because people just get Fraps or GameCam or some other easily available video recording software on Windows. Meanwhile, on the Mac side, people have been requesting it. You know, God, we'd love to have something where we could record it. And on the Mac side, the OS in 10.4 Tiger makes it easy to do. It wasn't a huge issue for them. And the Mac team could prioritize it and say, hey, let's do it. Let's have some fun with it. And let's see how it goes. The Windows team, if it's going to be too hard to implement, I'm not going to say too hard, but if it's going to be more difficult than they deem worth integrating, it's going to go to the bottom of the priorities list. It really will. Because they're going to look at it and say, guess what? Not worth our time when there are other issues we have to get done first and other features we can put in first. And that's something with all software development. Okay? If the feature is deemed not worth the time investment, it gets put to the bottom of the priorities list, which means they'll get to it when they get to it. On the Mac side, because it was easy to develop, and because there was a lot of user requests for something like it, they said, we're going to do it. It's kind of the same thing with the iTunes remote. It's only on the Mac version. The Windows team also would like to put in an iTunes remote on the Windows version. But of course, it means you're going to have to download iTunes, which means you're going to have to download... Well, actually, no, you can download iTunes without QuickTime, but... You know, the standard download of iTunes comes with QuickTime as well. So, I think it's a cool feature. I wish I could use it, because let me tell you, if I could use that, and I'm going to talk to some friends of mine with Macs and see if I can borrow their Macs for a day or so, especially if they play WoW, and, you know, do the add-on thing on there. And be like, you know, hey, I can make video video podcasts showing off add-ons, which I think would be really cool. Or I could scrounge some money up and buy a new Mac. You know, one or the other. One's definitely cheaper than the other. Hi, I'm going to borrow your Mac for an hour. You know, that sort of stuff. And then go use iMovie and do everything else like that. So, definitely a cool feature. Definitely something I'm very happy that they talked about. They mentioned it on the 13th, which was my birthday. I thought, great, great birthday present from Blizzard. That's awesome. And then I went and tried it. I can't use any of it. There's also a bug currently on the PTR where if your video card will not support video recording, it actually doesn't give you the options to do the iTunes remote stuff either. And it doesn't let your iTunes remote hotkeys work on the PTR either, but they said they're going to fix that. That's a bug on their end, and he came right out and said, that's a bug. I'll fix that as soon as I can. So, hopefully, next patch. It's a cool feature. And I know that you Windows users, because I know most of my listeners are Windows users, are going to want this too. And you know what? I hope you get it. I really do. I hope that there is something in Windows that will let Blizzard and other game companies do stuff like this for you guys too. That would be awesome, because then nobody has to go out and get Fraps. I'm not saying Fraps is a bad program, but why spend extra money if you don't have to? Or look for cracks, which could potentially be viruses. You know, you really have to wonder when you look at crack programs on WAR sites whether they're real or not. You really have to trust the WAR site to do that sort of stuff. And I'm not going to publicly condone that sort of stuff either. But I really hope Windows users get this. It would be cool. I think it's going to be awesome. It really is. We're finally going to get Mac stuff where we can do this on our Macs. Well, those of you with Macs that can support it. Nah, well, you know, maybe he'll get it to work on mine. Hey, great. I'll love it. It might not be in 2.2. It might be in 2.2.7. It might be in 2.4. Who cares? If he gets it to work, hey, he gets it to work. That's cool. And boom. Then I can start doing video podcasts for add-ons. Because I enjoy my add-ons. And I enjoy showing them off. Because I have an ego, I guess, now. But, you know, this sort of stuff is going to be cool. We're going to be able to see cool things like, you know, boss fights without a user interface. Because this program allows them, or this option, I should say, to record, it allows you to record your user interface or not. And still keep your interface up while playing and recording. And this is because, I forget if I just mentioned this already, but the UI is actually rendered separately from the game world. So this is how you can do that. And I've seen two examples, both of which are on my forums. One without the UI showing and one with the UI showing. And they both looked really good. They both had really decent frame rates. These were both on much more powerful Macs than my Mac. And just this sort of stuff is going to be cool. We're going to just get this sort of stuff happening. If the Windows client gets it, we're going to probably see a lot more WoW videos come out from guilds and such on boss kills. Because, hey, it's built right in. We can hide the interface so we can just show the strat for the kill and not have to worry about, oh shit, which button is this if I don't have all my key bindings memorized, you know, because I got to hide the interface so Fraps can show it. So I'm hoping that Windows gets it. I don't know when they'll get it. I don't know if they'll get it. It'd be cool if they do. But right now it's Mac only. So we Mac users can jump up and down for joy if we can use it. And those that can't, eh, whatever. So there's my podcast. Went longer than I thought, but visit me at worldofpodcast.blogspot.com. Email me, UncleThursday@gmail.com, and I'll see you next time.